You might remember this past July when a new country, South Sudan, was born. But you may not know that even before South Sudan became independent, nearly a tenth of its land had been bought up by foreign investors. Or that foreign investors are buying up huge tracts of land all over Africa, in Ethiopia, Mali, Mozambique, Sierra Leone, 148 million acres in the last 3 years, an area larger than California. The investors say they're providing an engine of economic opportunity for Africa, but critics say these purchases are an attempt to consolidate a hold over global food markets. Let's hear more. Anuradha Mittal is the founder and executive director of the progressive think tank, the Oakland Institute. We have her research at hereandnow.org. So, Anuradha, what's being grown on this land?
A huge chunk of it is being used for biofuels or agrofuels, which is then being exported or sent back to Europe or the United States. It is being used to grow baby vegetables, even cut flowers and other commodities. These investors boast of having struck these strategic investor status in these countries, which comes with various incentives. For instance, the right to be able to export food that is grown or stored in a place like Zambia, even if they're food insecurity.
Let's make sure I've got this right, what you've just said. These foreign investors who are buying up land, huge amounts of land in countries in Africa, are, first of all, growing things that they export. So they, in your criticism, are not feeding Africans. They're exporting biofuels and cut flowers and things like that. And they've also won the right to do that, even though there are bans on exports in some of those countries that desperately need food.
Sure. Let me give you two clear examples of that. You look at Chetan Africa, which is a private equity fund operating in a place like Zambia. They boast to the investors that they have an investment protection promotion agreement, which allows them to export 80% of the food that is grown and stored in Zambia, even if there is food insecurity. And in case there are political riots and the government is toppled, they then have protection from MIGA, Multilateral Investment Guarantee Agency of the World Bank, which would provide them $50 million of guarantee that they can still make profits. Or we look at the deal such as AgriSol in Tanzania. They are demanding a similar clause that they should be able to export the food that they grow on their 400,000 hectares, even if there is hunger in Tanzania.
Well, at least one of these companies has responded to you, these Western hedge funds. The largest is London-based Emergent Asset Management. They have universities like Harvard and Vanderbilt among their investors, and they created MVEST Asset Management. And they told the BBC that these aren't shady deals. First of all, there's transparency, that their employees in Mozambique earn salaries 40% higher than the minimum wage, and that also that their company is, you know, not just an export company, that they're involved in projects like supplying clean water to rural communities. They say those communities and that government are thrilled that they're there.
Well, it's very rare for a thief to say I'm a thief. So when we came out with our reports and a brief, we did not expect any of these hedge funds or private equity funds such as Emergent Asset Management to say, yes, we have done wrong. But what we have presented in our briefs is our opinion, which is based on documents. It is not a case of their word against ours. It is really a case of their words against their own documents. For instance, we have the business plan with the government of Mozambique where they're declaring, you know, all they have to do in the first year is create 18 jobs. So when you look at those facts and figures, and having spent time on the ground with the community, where you find people saying, we did not want to give 1,000 hectares of land, it was taken away from us through pressure by the local government, and now we are facing a lot of pressure for additional 1,000 hectares. What we are pointing out through our research is that in the name of promoting development, in the name of promoting agricultural surpluses and meeting food security, we have created a situation where on one hand, New York Times can have the photograph of a starving child from East Africa, and you see trucks of food aid coming into this region, while at the same time, we will see trucks full of grains and cut flowers and biofuels leaving Africa.
Another one of the problems you talk about, villagization. This is going on in Ethiopia, moving people from traditional lands into new centers while selling these tracts of land and these big land deals.
It's fascinating how everyone has jumped onto the bandwagon that there is a lot of available land in Africa. So, for instance, in case of Sierra Leone, the government kept claiming that 85% of the country's arable land is still available, and our research showed that that fact was based on data that was collected nearly 40 years ago. In fact, there's a shortage of arable land in the country. In the case of Ethiopia, where nearly 13 million people depend on food aid, the country has started a 7 million hectare lease project. And you have ethnic tribes who have not had contact with the outside world, who are being relocated. And the tanks which have been provided for so-called peacekeeping in Somalia and Sudan, they're actually being used by the government on its own people. They were so courageous. They came out to tell us their stories. They could not give their names for security reasons. But they do not have an option. If they say no, that they would not move, they would be forcibly moved. They would be imprisoned. And that's the whole political climate in which many of these communities are having to deal with this crisis.
African countries are also dealing with Chinese and Middle Eastern companies mm-hmm. that have also come to Africa to grab land, but it's to grow food for their people back home.
Well, you know, Robin, that's a very important point, because our media has very often reported on the Chinese or the Middle Eastern Gulf states, Indians in Ethiopia. All of this is true, but what we do not hear about is that the Norwegians, the Swedish, the private hedge funds and equity funds with links to J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs, Emergent Asset Management, Agrisol, Fatisa, Chetan Africa, all of them have rushed to Africa. This is a new taking of Africa. With the collapse of the housing market, with the dot-com world not being as excited, there's a drive for the new, you know, commodity, new market to invest in. And that is why 25% to 40% returns are being promised.
This is a free market, and the governments are selling the land to investors who want it. So what interrupts that?
So what we are asking for is this dissemination of information, basic principles that are agreed upon, free prior informed consent. People should know about them. They should be provided legal training. Let's not forget, we are talking about Africa, where because of its colonial history, communal lands, traditional lands are considered state property. So even if you and your family have been on that land for generations or a century, you could be evicted tomorrow because you're seen as a squatter. So in the absence of title deeds, in the absence of land rights of these people, to promote a phenomena that will cause further food insecurity, will cause further hunger and impoverishment, we need to really study the phenomena before we start promoting it.
Anuradha Mittal, the founder and director of the progressive think tank, the Oakland Institute, will link you at our website, hereandnow.org. She's been talking about Western investments in African land. Anuradha, thank you.
Thank you very much.